You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Has anyone ever said to you, make up your mind. Don't just stand there. Do something. You were forced to make a decision.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour.
Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by one of our guest speakers. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Let's include God in the decisions we make. Our God and our Father, we seek your guidance and direction for our lives. In a world filled with so many moments of decision for right or wrong, give us an understanding of self and make us sensitive to the lives and needs of others. Holy Father, help us to say the things we mean and to mean the things we say. Give us conviction and strength to make decisions pleasing to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It's in the book of Acts, in the 16th chapter. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your family. The scene is a prison. It is midnight, and strange noises are coming from the prison. Something is happening. It is not a riot. It definitely is not a prison break. As a matter of fact, it is annoying the jailer because he usually catches a few winks of sleep at this time of night. But two crazy fellows in a cell block are singing, and it's midnight. Not only are they singing, there is another strange noise. Yes, in fact, they are praying. All of the prisoners are awakened. Some are joining in and others are watching because it's the first floor show ever held in a prison. It was a strange sound, but something even stranger than that happened. The scripture says, suddenly there was a mighty earthquake which shook the prison to its foundations. At once all the doors opened and the chains fell off the prisoners. Stranger than the noise of the earthquake and the sound of men praying is the fact that prisoners don't leave their cells. The doors were sprung open for the escape. The jailer, assuming he had lost his prisoners, was about to take his life when a prisoner by the name of Paul said at the top of his voice, "Do yourself no harm. We are all here." When the jailer called for a light, he rushed in and fell trembling at the feet of Paul and Silas. Then he led them out and asked, "What must I do, sirs, to be saved?" I don't know how piercing and inclusive that question was, whether or not it included all of what the apostle St. Paul meant when he gave the answer, but the scripture says it, and men down through the ages have asked the same question. And when it was asked in that prison, there came a swift, succinct, and powerful answer. This is another strange sound to the ears of men. This, too, is unbelievable. For the answer to the question, "What must I do to be saved?" is believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your family. It was a moment of decision. When someone comes to you and tells you to believe and promises what will happen if you do believe, you are faced with a decision. Let's leave that decision for a moment in the jail at Philippi and talk about decisions you have made. And what are decisions all about? Decision means separation. A decision on your part means you have reached a point where you are going to be committed to something that could change your life. Your mind is made up. You are going to do something. Decision often means stopping the discussion. When people are in a parliamentary procedure and one after the other wants to make his point, someone can say, "I move the previous question." This is a move to stop all debate and all discussion. There is something final about decision. There is no longer the option of either or. Making a decision sets you on course. I've had that experience while traveling on vacation. It usually happens to me in the Washington-Baltimore area. If you do everything just right, you will skirt the major traffic of Central City, but you must be alert. When I come to the time for decision concerning which road to take, I receive instructions from several riders. Left. No, straight ahead. No, turn to the right. Totally confused by the signs and the instructions, I make the decision, and I find myself on the commercial street. An hour or so later, I'm back at the point of decision, and this time I make the correct one. It isn't funny at the time, but it usually gives us a laugh when during the winter months we talk about vacation days. How often does it happen to you that you are committed when you make a decision? You have waited, you have hesitated, and the time for decision comes, and you make one. Right or wrong, you are committed. When speaking of decision and commitment, I believe the ultimate decision is the one made either for or against Christ. I want to go back now for a moment to that scene in the prison. I said it was a swift, succinct, and powerful answer Paul gave to the jailer's question, "What must I do to be saved?" The answer came, "Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, you and your family." Now then, that sounds like a quick magic formula. Just say, "I believe," and all will be well. My friend, it wasn't and it isn't quite that way. The Bible indicates that Paul and Silas met with the jailer and his household and told them the message of God. Can you picture that scene? The prisoners have wounds. The jailer and his family are binding up those wounds, and they are feeding the prisoners. And Paul tells them the great, beautiful, powerful message that Jesus Christ is Lord. He shares with them just why he said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul knows how the relationship with the past had to be broken. He spoke about the Christ who came into the world to offer his life for men. He no doubt spoke about the experience of his own conversion. And for sure, he shared with them that forgiveness of sin and the promise of eternal life, which comes to men only in Jesus Christ. It was indeed a moment of decision. It was a moment of renewal for the jailer and his household. To be sure, the jailer and his household were like prisoners. Prisoners who had been freed. The old life would soon be over. They would no longer live like condemned people, but they could live their lives in the pardon, the forgiveness, and in the new life that comes to men as they accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. This is the exciting thing about faith, my friend. When you are brought to the point of understanding and acceptance by the power of the Spirit, prison doors will be opened for you. So often we find ourselves shackled to our own selfish and willful ways. We are actually prisoners in our own surroundings. Worse than that, we can be slaves to a life of disservice to God and to man. That kind of servitude takes on many shapes and forms, but you will know and you will experience its power when you live your life without peace and hope and joy, and you will know that you are in slavery. If you want those shackles to fall away, if you want them to be removed from you, then I say to you, believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, who came into the world to be your brother and to bring you into the household of the Eternal Father. The decision for Christ severs relationships. It breaks the great bond and shackles with the past, the ugly past, the moment of sin, distress, heartache, anxiety, and of a tortured and seared conscience. Some of you at this moment are at a time of decision, of looking at Christ for all that he is, not only as Lord and Creator, the one who made all things by the power of his word, but truly for who he is, even as John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The decision for Jesus Christ will change your situation, not only now in time, but for eternity. The difficult thing about making the decision for Jesus Christ is that it dethrones man. It really, in effect, topples me from my throne of wanting to be the planner and the one who guides all of my life. Making the decision in Christ Jesus is saying that Jesus Christ is in command of everything. It will be unlike any other decision you have ever made. It means a commitment that has its beginning in God. Think of decisions you have made in your life. Many of you have already made the decision for Christ. Many have received his full grace and blessing. But there are decisions every day that we make for or against Christ. I reached a decision to do what I am doing now, proclaiming the word of truth in Jesus Christ. That decision was made firm when I knelt before the altar in a small but beautiful church, St. Luke's in Elizabeth, New Jersey, and heard my pastor speak the words of ordination. It was a moment of commitment. That's the power in decision. It is really commitment. Do you make decisions like that? I know you have made them. You make them all the time, and you make all kinds. There was a decision you made when you fell in love. Now, that was a commitment. You had decided to buy a home. You looked at it, and you furnished it in your own mind. Then came the moment of truth, when the real estate agent said, "Sign right here." And you signed. And with that decision, you committed yourself to the mortgage. You see, then, decisions are made so often with other people involved. There is the marriage contract, the name on the mortgage. Decisions usually involve others. But the decision for Jesus Christ has to do with you and your God. It has nothing to do with your health or your education or your bank account. Others will be affected, but for a moment, you stand alone. It is your personal decision. I cannot be your judge, nor can you be mine, about this decision. But you can be your own judge. I am going to ask you to be just that in a few moments. But before I do, let me warn you that embodied in this decision is repentance. When a person decides to do something different, something new, he will find himself casting aside the things that are old. Repentance is involved in the decision for Jesus Christ. Repentance not for just a few select sins, like the nasty things that people do. the occasions of quick temper or cursing or the raised voice at your wife or the lack of patience with your children. For these you can quickly say, "Oh, I'm sorry about that." No, not that kind of repentance, my friend. It is rather a repentance for all of life. For those things I have just mentioned, and for all the little nasty things and the big nasty things that I would not like to mention about myself or about you. It is repentance for the whole man. When you have reached that point, then you are ready to believe in him. I am speaking about that kind of a decision. This is the moment of decision for some of you. At this moment, you are the judge. And I ask you, have you committed your life to Jesus Christ? God speaks to all who ask the question, "What must I do to be saved?" He gives the answer, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." But you must know by now that I am referring to more than words. It might take you 3 seconds to say, "I believe in Jesus Christ." And that's about as long as it will last, unless you have been led to a commitment and repentance, that it is believing in Jesus Christ, who is that Savior, who came into the world and suffered and died for your sins and made life over again for you. If you can say he is yours, your decision is for Christ, and it is one of repentance and commitment and eternity. If you can say that, my friend, God himself has led you to such a crossroad. And if you are still searching, if you have heard the word of forgiveness and love and desire it for yourself, then let me tell you, it is for you. Christ is for you. Hear his word. He came to this world and gave himself for you. God is placing this moment of decision before you through me. What is your decision? Amen.